Welcome to Signs of Life, exploring survival of consciousness, brought to you by Forever Family Foundation, on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
I call your name, the echo is haunting, the echo is always the same. I call your name, the echo is haunting, an echo can never be changed, so I call your name, your name.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Hi, how are you? Welcome to Medium Insights Hour, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation and Signs of Life Radio, where, as you all know, we gather here every month to explore the mindsets of many accomplished mediums on a variety of topics related to spirituality in the afterlife. My name is Roman Karpyshka, and I'm very excited to welcome Renee back to the show to the show tonight. She's a certified medium with Triple F. When I say Triple F, I mean the Forever Family Foundation, but you already knew that. So a little bit about Renee. She's a certified medium who, as a child, has had out-of-body experiences, prophetic dreams, and visits from the afterlife, a visit from spirit. And after two personal family tragedies, she began a lifelong quest to answer questions about the issues of life and death and, you know, our purpose on Earth. It wasn't until she was in her 40s that she began to consciously develop that gift that she had. She began by, you know, visiting spiritual churches and eventually to understand the science of mediumship and the art of interpreting symbols conveyed by those no longer in the physical. She maintains a practice in Minnesota, and her website is whispersfromthelight.com. One word, no spaces. So tonight, as always, our show is commercial free. So if you have questions for our dear guest, please feel to call in. We are at 1-888-627-6008. So that's 888-627-6008. But Renee's not going to be doing any readings tonight. I mean, these are just, you know, for informational purposes only. So yeah, please give us calls. And with all of that, Renee, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Roman. It's always fun to meet you. I think we do this every December.
Just about, yeah. I think last time you were on the show was last October.
Oh, was it? Okay. Yeah. I stand corrected.
You know what? The reason I know that is because, you know, I make, you know, these questions and then I save them as a Word document, and I got the date that I saved it. So, I know exactly, you know.
Good. Okay, yeah. Good.
So you're in Minnesota. You got a lot of snow over there?
You know what? We do have a fair amount, probably maybe 7-8 inches right now, and it's cold. We're really going into a deep freeze right now. Yeah, it's going to be like high of zero on Saturday. So
bring out the suntan lotion, huh?
Yeah.
yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I'm in Albany. We got about the same story here, pretty much. I think it's going to be very white Christmas this year.
Yes, right.
Which is right. Great.
I didn't know you were in Albany.
Yeah, Albany, just north of 2 hours north of New York City. I've been here like 25 years.
Yeah.
It's a great place.
What I
like about it, I mean, it's small, but there's no traffic jams. I mean, a traffic jam will cost you like 5 minutes, you know? They make fun of it on the radio. It's going to delay you by 5 minutes, you know? Not too bad.
Isn't Cornell in Albany?
Cornell is not in Albany.
No.
It's a little bit, it's kind of towards Binghamton, I think.
Okay.
Which is southwest of Albany, a little over 100 miles, I think.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, absolutely. So yeah, so welcome to the show. And, we got some, you know, we got all these questions from, listeners and questions that I have and all that kind of stuff. So we can start off with, one of the writers, people that wrote in, wrote this: does the manner in which somebody die affect their ability to make contact with you? Like, for example, like an accident versus an illness. Does that have any effect on it?
I would say no. I think the thing that does make an impact is how long they've been in spirit. I think in the first couple of weeks after a person passes, they're sort of around and wanting to make contact, and then there's this period of time, I call it a whiteout, where they're reorienting, reintegrating there on the other side, and it's a little bit harder, I think, to reach in the sort of 2 week to 3 month range. Now, that's not for every, not, not the same for, I mean, nothing is a definite for everybody, but generally, it's I think if you can wait at least 3 months, it can be a little bit easier for the medium.
Okay, so after 3 months, you kind of recommend after the transition when somebody crosses over, you would recommend waiting at least 3 months based on experience, right? I guess.
Yeah, just give them a little time, to sort of settle in and sort of integrate with their larger kind of soul self.
Not only that, but it's probably better for the sitter too, because the sitter, if, especially if they're very close, the transition, and it's just a shock, and they're grieving profusely, and they might not be open to
Absolutely.
receive messages, right? Or
That's
to,
right. Absolutely.
yeah.
Their energy is a little bit lighter after a few months. And that makes a big difference. I always say it's a three-way communication, right? Between the medium, the sitter, and spirit. And we all kind of have to raise up, or we, the sitter and the medium, have to sort of raise up our vibrations and our energies to meet spirit. So being in a good place, emotionally, a little more grounded, perhaps, than you are when you're in that state of deep grief, is definitely a better mindset and energetic stance.
Well, I mean, I'm sure you've gotten a lot of questions over your career on what does it take to be a good sitter? What do you need? And then I'm going to ask the flip question. What does like people might ask you, like, do I have what it takes to be a good medium? Maybe we'll start with that one first, because that one's really interesting. So do you ever get questions like that? And
I do, and increasingly, actually, because I last year, was it last year or 2 years ago? Actually, two summers ago, I started my first mediumship retreat, and so I've had three so far. And as people are considering joining the retreat, it's a 5-day, very immersive experience in learning psychic development and mediumship. People are wondering if they're the right candidate. And what I say to them, there are sort of a couple of components, I think, that to make a good mediumship student. And I think the first one is, we all, mediumship as a ability is like any ability. And I think you and I have talked about this before too. It's whether you're an athlete or an artist or whatever, it's a spectrum, right? And mediumship is something that's on a spectrum. So some people are born with a greater natural ability, and other people, if you're sort of in the middle of that spectrum, you can actually develop it with practice and consistency, and be able to reach a level of professionalism. And so most of the time, in my retreats and my classes, I'm working with that kind of middle person who's got something. They know they have something, and how do they develop that into the work of a medium? So starting out with some natural abilities, but then sort of asking yourself, like, in the unconscious realm, do you have vivid dreams of loved ones or of guides? Do you have precognitive dreams, of that eventually come true? That is kind of a sign that your brain is somewhat open, right? You're connecting with the spirit side in the dream world. And then consciously, do you have flashes of insight? Are you able to really read a situation, read a room, read people? Are you highly empathic? Do you have a sense of maybe what's coming or how a situation is going to play out before it actually does? So that I think is another kind of innate ability that can help you decide if maybe this is the right thing for you to look into. You know, comes into sort of those gut feelings, you know, is your inner guidance system really strong? Are you tapping in and paying attention? And then,
Now,
yeah.
somebody with no abilities, that's on the weak end of that spectrum, would they be able to de develop it to get a little bit of ability, like from nothing to a little bit? Is
Yeah,
there?
I think so. Yes.
Okay.
You know, I think so. Yeah.
Interesting.
I think it's worth for anybody to try it. And for those people who think, oh, I don't have, you know, anything at all, you know, you might want to try just a class, a local class, maybe meeting once a month or something like that. Because going all in for 5 days may be a little much for you. It may be like too much too soon. But you know, if you're feeling like you've got some connections, or even if you're starting to hear spirit and maybe things that they're saying are validated in the real world, or you know what it feels like when spirit is around, or if you have the ability to meditate and to quiet the mind and to sort of take yourself on those journeys of the mind, that's another, I think, another sign that you know, you may be ready to consider a mediumship training. And probably the final thing would be just a really strong passion, interest, and a dedication. The thing about mediumship is you have to keep practicing. It's like piano or art or, you know, writing. You know, you have to stick with it. You have to keep that, you know, sort of mediumship muscle memory being developed. So I think
I
those, yeah.
totally get that, and I totally agree with what you just said. As a guitarist myself, I know that,
Yeah.
after I've gone on a trip or something like that, and I'm away for a couple of weeks, I get back on the guitar, and it ain't the same.
Right.
You got to get back into the groove, kind of thing. Hey, you know
That's
what?
right.
We actually got a caller. Would you
Oh,
mind taking a
cool.
call?
Yeah, let's.
We got a guy with a very unusual name. His name is Roman on the
Whoa.
line too.
Another Roman.
Another Roman. You're gonna be full of Romans here.
All right.
So yeah, let's bring him on in. Hey, Roman, welcome to the show.
Roman, it's Roman Nesko. We went through this last time. And
Oh yes, and you know what? They spelt your name with like two words. And it occurred to me also, and I'm like, can it be the same? But so much has happened in a month that I wasn't sure. So, anyways, welcome back to the show.
yeah, thank you guys. It's so nice. It's so nice to meet you. Thank you for being on here today.
You're
Yes,
welcome.
it's just great
Thank
to have
you,
a
Roman
radio
Esco.
show where we can. Awesome. Well, I've got a really cool question, but it's going to take me about 30 seconds to ask it because it's so cool. Is that okay?
That sounds great.
Okay. Thank you. So my question is about how the mediumship industry is evolving, and if we're actually entering in a metaphysical age. And what I mean by that is there was an Iron Age, there was you know, an industrial age, and it seems like maybe we're entering a metaphysical age. Police departments are hiring psychics, CIA hires and created remote viewing. So could there be a future where mediums could be hired by private companies to develop products and services, or hired by governments for national defense or to solve problems? The telepathy tapes has already showed us that so many nonverbal speaking autistic children are actually mediums and see dead people, where we can maybe there could be real Hogwarts of mediumship where children are getting trained by these abilities. So how is the industry going to evolve? These are my ideas. Am I crazy? Or
You're not crazy at all, my friend. I think that before Renee hops in, there's I'd like to make the distinction, or maybe Renee can make the distinction between being psychic and being medium, and what those involve. Because a lot of the things that you were alluding to me at least, sound like they would be perfect fits for, kind of psychic, like product development and stuff like that, which is not really, mediumship is more like talking to spirits of people that, have transitioned. But go ahead, Renee. Why don't you give your much better versed in this than I am? So,
Yeah, I think it's an excellent question.
yeah, it is.
Because I too, I've been listening to the telepathy tapes, and I have to say, I mean, in my 20 some years of being a medium, this is the most excited I've been about any real developments or recognition, I think, in this area, and the understanding of these autistic nonverbal spellers and what they can do. So I would lean toward yes, we are, I think, moving in that direction. I think of the abilities of that subpopulation as being almost like humans 2.0, right? Like they have these outstanding psychic and mediumistic abilities. And aren't quite fitting into the human body and brain. And so it's almost like they're more advanced, or because of the sort of lack of connection or easy connection between mind and body, that they're more free perhaps to develop those abilities. But I do believe that people will see this work as more credible, and therefore, more organizations like police or investigative organizations will employ more people. And I want to come back to what I was saying a little bit ago about, there are a lot of people walking around on this planet who have the ability to be a medium but don't know it. And I was one of those people. I just, I stumbled into a spiritualist church because I was having all these dreams, and suddenly I'm in a class and I'm sitting and also sitting in a circle. And my first attempts, I was amazed by. I'm like, wow, I can do this? Well, if I can do this, then probably a lot of people could do this. They just don't know it yet, right? So I think what's happening is the abilities have been here, but are getting better, and it's becoming a more legitimate talent.
Yeah, I think
And
also social media has influenced and gotten a lot of exposure to this realm as well.
I just hope that it's used responsibly, like with any new tech, and this is sort of, it's going to fall into almost like a technology, like we had, like you were talking about Romanesco, the Iron Age or the technological age. Is this the metaphysical age? Yes, and with every advancement, there can be abuses, and so I hope that we can harness these abilities for good. Because as you know, if you've been listening to the telepathy tapes, it's all about the love, right? And I've known that for a long time. Spirit made that really clear to me in the beginning, that we work in the frequency of love, right? And so taking all of that in and continuing to work in that frequency for good, I think it's a real positive development.
Great.
Also,
May I ask one more clarifying? Oh, go on.
Romanesco, I also think that, with the development of quantum computing and quantum mechanics,
Yes.
it is definitely transitioning to where there's gonna be actual proof. Like right now, we're on the cusp of it, but there's gonna be actual proof that this stuff is real. This shit is real. Absolutely.
Right.
It's just that right now, like we're just on the cusp of it, and I think in our lifetime we're going to see that. So it's very
We
exciting.
need the tools to measure.
Apologies. So I love your answer, and how I want to clarify it, even look at an angle we may not have thought of, because I feel a lot of mediums and medium readings are deal for like counseling and emotional grief reasons, like, oh, I miss this person, I want to connect. But like, if I'm a Silicon Valley tech company, why can't I hire a medium to connect with the spirit of Steve Jobs and like help develop a new technological product like they, you know, like if I am the police department, why can't I hire a medium to work with the spirit of a great detective or police person to help catch a new killer or something? And to me, these are like innovative uses of mediumship, which I never hear anyone talking about.
Well, I have a few comments on that. So people like Steve Jobs or any artists or, scientists, anybody on the other side, they can and do choose to work with people here on the earth plane all the time. We talk about inspiration. Those are actually downloads or communications from entities on the other side.
That's really
So
interesting.
yeah, so that's already happening. Whether people are fully aware of it, that's another story. I remember, years ago when I was married, my husband was a an engineer, an inventor, and when he was really stumped, what did he do? He went and sat in the bathtub for hours and just opened his mind, just relaxed his mind, meditated, and pretty soon, he's running down the stairs and into his lab, and he's got ideas and a solution. So that was really a met he was doing what a medium does, just opening up, letting answers come in, inviting in, whoever on the other side is working with him. So that's already happening. Now, can we direct that process to a degree? But remember, we all have a life plan, right? That we wrote for ourselves. And in that life plan, we have achievements that we hope to reach. We have challenges and obstacles that we want to overcome, because in that it are the lessons. And so spirit will help us as long as it's in our highest good and in conjunction with our life goals and plan. So giving us the answer straight out on some things, might not be what is the best for us for the lessons that we want to learn. Okay?
I
That
understand that.
we're here for the challenge, we're here for the, the learning, the struggle in it, in addition to meeting those other sort of achievement-oriented goals.
But it doesn't, you can still receive those, messages when they're important.
Yes.
And just, kind of alluding to what you were saying a little bit earlier, Romanesco, is like, if you're let's say you lost something, you have something and you don't know where you put it, you lost it. What has worked for me is just, lying down in a, you don't have to, some people take baths, as you were saying earlier, Renee, or whatever, but you can just lie down and quiet your mind and just try to picture what the last place you put it, or the last place you saw something. And chances are you're going to be able to find it
You'll find
most
it,
of the time. Yeah, it's a great trick. I say it to my kids all the time. I tell them all the time, and it works.
And that is
So,
also
and that's what
something
I
like,
mean.
go ahead.
Oh, thank you, Renee. And that's what I mean, like innovative uses of mediumship. Like, can I use be a medium and connect with the dead to help me find something that's lost? Like, is the veil going to get more thin? And like, if my child needs to walk to school, like, can I have, grandpa who's passed help walk her to school, with the veil being thin, and keep an eye on her? Like, what's the relationship and partnership we can have with the spiritual realm, and how could it be innovated and changed?
Yes, exactly. And we do, people regularly do ask me for if I have insights on lost things. They often find them based on what spirit brings through. So if you're meant to find them and you just can't because your mind's cluttered or you can't, like, or some weird thing happened, we'll find them. So, yes. So these are, I think a lot of these uses are already in play or have been, but bringing it out to the mainstream is probably the newer aspect of it. I mean, I many years ago, 20 years ago, when I lived in Massachusetts, Steve or Chuck Bergman, who is a professional medium in Florida, he was a police officer for the Salem Police Department, and he would sometimes bring in cases and present to us at our circle, and we would all, basically try to channel the answers from spirit, like how to help with this case, and he'd take all that back and deliver it. And so, of course, Salem, Massachusetts is a special place. They're used to metaphysical things. But yeah, they were open, and they, were open to Chuck being a medium and us contributing to solving some of those cases.
Well, there you go. Thank you so much, guys, for taking the time and answering my questions. I really just sending you a bunch of
Yeah.
rainbows from Kauai.
And
Oh,
if
thank
you
you.
call, if you ever call again, I will not make that mistake again. Fool me twice, shame on me, or whatever the expression is. Fool me three times, I won't get fooled three times.
I'm honored people confuse me for you. It's great.
That was a great question. Thank you, Romanesco.
Yeah, God
All
bless
right.
you, Renee. God bless you, Roman.
God bless you too, Romanesco. And my producers committed your name to memory too, so you're good for next time. Okay, that was an interesting call.
A
Yeah,
very good question, yes.
very good question. So yeah, he actually called the last show. It was either the last show or the show before, like very recently. So it was interesting.
Awesome.
So what you just said earlier was a stroke of genius. It really resonated with me. It's you said that inspiration like comes from spirit, and you know what? That there's a big meaning behind that. You know what I
Yeah.
mean?
Well, it's actually the
Because
root of that word, right? Inspiration, spirit coming in, right?
Wow, no, yeah, I like these things. Thank you.
Sure.
So getting back to what you were talking about getting in the right frame of mind to make sure that you're, a good candidate for a medium, that kind of thing. How do like mind altering drugs play into this? Has
Oh
anybody
gosh.
asked you about that?
I'm not the person to, I'm not the person to ask about that, unfortunately. Yeah, I don't. I've never tried them, and although I've been curious, but yeah, so I can't answer that question.
No, I'm just wondering if like somebody's like whose spirit has been, well, it's not their spirit that's altered. They're physically, in a altered state, I guess, either at a sitter
Well,
or
chemicals, can they can, sort of shift what's going on in the brain, right? They
Well,
can
they do. They
activate the
physically.
pineal gland. Any number of things can be happening. So yeah, I don't doubt that it's possible. I just haven't had I think I just need to find somebody who I really trust who can guide that process. But I do I mean, there's a lot about, psilocybins out there. And
And ayahuasca is another big one.
yeah, but even using them in therapy, oops. Yeah,
Yeah,
I
it's interesting. I've heard this one author, his name's Graham, something Graham. He went did a lot of ayahuasca, and you get violently ill before the effects start taking place, and which is the reason people take ayahuasca. But it's you get extremely violently ill before that, and you're throwing up, and you're
Yeah,
it's pretty
not
gross.
pretty. Yeah,
It's not
right.
pretty. It's not
Not
pretty at all.
pretty.
You're convulsing and you're soiling yourself. It's not pretty at all. But
Yeah.
once you pass that stage, you meet like this creator or something like that. Like the experience has always been the same. Like it's this snake-like entity everybody reports on seeing. And yeah, Graham Nichols, I think, is the guy's name. Anyways, kind of interesting. I like to ask that of the mediums because some mediums might have an answer to that. I haven't gotten an answer from any medium from experience yet on that, but I'll keep trying, I guess. So you I mean, okay, I hate to bring this up, but you know the tragedies in your family, is that kind of like what pushed you towards being a medium? Just to like, is that did that help you? Is that what opened up your door? Because I know for me, I'm not a medium, but I'm very interested in it. And you know, I had a 5-year-old son who passed away, and that's what got me all into it, you know, to find out that kind of thing. So is that was that the same thing with you as well?
Actually, no.
Okay.
When I was 12, my brother died in an accident,
Yep.
and a year later, my sister, right? But in those days, there were no mediums around, no psychics. It was just dealing with it yourself. But
Yeah.
that is when, they started visiting me in my in you know at night. They would come into my bedroom, sit on my bed, we would have conversations. So yes, I shouldn't, yeah, before I said no, but so yes, those were my first experiences
Okay.
communicating, I think, with spirit, but it didn't drive me toward mediumship. That wasn't something that I ever believed was even possible, but beyond the realm
Right.
of understanding. So it was much later, in my early 40s, when it was my prophetic dreams that were, I was like, who is talking to me? Why do I know these things? Like, what is happening? And a good friend of mine, Eddie, who's now in spirit, he told me about the spiritualist church, the Swampscott Church of Spiritualism, I should say, down the road. And that's where I started to get answers. That's where I met Joanne Gerber and Siri Berenson and Joe Scheel and Joanne Nohavik, so
Yeah, these are all great mediums.
yes, right, all great mediums. And there are more, that aren't Forever Family Foundation mediums, but so that was the beginning. I went there, and I my first time there, the message medium started describing my brother, who had passed, at that point, 30 years prior, or not quite. Anyway, long many years. Yeah, about 30 years prior. And how he died, the color of his motorbike, all of that. And I'm like, wow, that's my brother. So, I raised my hand, and anyway, we got the rest of the message. It was phenomenal and shocking and hugely eye-opening all at the same time. I just went to the church looking for answers on my precognitive dreams, was not really expecting to hear from my brother. But that message medium became my teacher, Nancy Strickland, for many years. And then from there, I went on to lead my own development circle and continued taking classes at the church with all the mediums who were coming in. Joe Scheel and Janet came for workshops. I took classes with Joanne, and Siri sat with me in classes. Actually, Joanne and I sat together in classes for a while. She was ahead of me.
Joanne Gerber.
Joanne Gerber, yeah.
Yep, she's
Yeah,
great. She's
she's
awesome. She's
great. I know.
queen. She's the queen. Her, she really is.
I know. I love her so much.
Me too.
So, yeah. So that was really the beginning of my work and my and being serious and dedicated to it. And I just kept going. I had been at the church, though, for about 10 years. I mean, I'd been developing my mediumship about 10 years before I thought to do the Forever Family certification. And that was in 2012, I think. So, and that has just made a huge difference in people finding me. It's
No, it's a
exciting.
great organization. It's
Really.
pretty awesome.
Yeah.
I got involved through you know, after my son transitioned, I went to a therapist to help me, and Mohana was my therapist. And
Oh.
and she's the one that recommended me and opened my eyes to the Forever Family Foundation and everything that they do, you know.
Oh,
And
yeah.
I just became so interested that one day Bob calls me and said, "Hey, you want to host a show?" I go, "Okay." And 10 years later, here I am, still doing
There
the
you
thing.
are, right? Yeah,
I
it's
loved
great
it.
how that works, right? We know it's on our path. We just don't know it until we step onto that next step.
Absolutely. So, you know what? A question just popped into my head. What can you tell our audience Somebody that wants to go see the services, seek the services of a professional medium, and is paying good money to do that, and sets up an appointment and all that kind of stuff. How can what advice would you give to our listeners that are entering that mediumship reading to determine, like, all right, is this a good medium or not? Is, am I being hoodwinked? And, did this person just put a shingle over their head? Because, some people might not do their research. You know what I mean?
Well, the obvious thing is that there should be sufficient evidence that the sitter knows who is coming through, and preferably some evidence that could never be out there, published anywhere.
Gotcha.
Especially, personality or things that they would have said or done or liked to do, or
Yeah.
anything like that.
So
So
evidence.
yeah, the
There's
evidence, it's all about
evidence.
the evidence. Yeah.
Are there
So
any
that
red flags to look for before going to the reading, before paying your money?
oh gosh, I don't know. I don't seek out mediums myself.
I know. Well,
I guess, I mean, word of mouth, I think. Word of mouth, or just looking for,
yeah.
a
Well, now
certified,
with Google
Googling a
and stuff like
certified
that,
medium. I mean, I think anybody who's listening to us tonight probably is like, yeah, we're going to go the certified medium route.
Well, yeah, for sure. Absolutely.
But yeah.
Okay. No, that's that just, popped into my head. We have another caller.
Oh, good.
Yeah, so we have Stephanie from California on line two. She wants to talk about something about premature loss. So
Okay.
let's get her on.
All right.
Stephanie, are you there?
Hi.
Hi,
Yes.
welcome to the
Hi.
show. Welcome to the show.
Thank you
Hi,
so much.
Stephanie.
Hi.
So go
So
ahead.
actually, what you guys kind of touched on earlier, my brother, my 22-year-old brother, passed away in a car accident earlier this year.
I'm so sorry to hear about
And
that. That sucks.
thank you.
Yeah.
And it kind of sent me down the spiritual path as well. And I wasn't really familiar with mediumship or like the afterlife before his passing. But of course, I dived deep into wanting to understand more about it. And since then, I've had some people, say that a lot of your life path is kind of pre-planned, and that you do have life lessons that your soul has kind of signed up for so that you can expand more.
Yep.
What I'm wondering is, like, the premature death, like, of some of these young people, is that something that's planned, or is that something where the life path was cut short?
Most of the time, I would say it's planned.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay.
Most of the
It's
time it's planned. And in
sadly.
fact, when my brother passed at age 14, people were saying either, oh, this is God's plan, right? Or it's just an accident. These things happen. Like, I didn't know how to
That doesn't
understand
give
that. I
comfort.
was, right? I was 12 at the
Right.
time. I'm
And it gives no comfort. There's no comfort
right?
in that.
Yeah, it's like, what is that?
Right.
But then all those years later, when I received that message from Nancy, the medium, part of that message was my brother saying, that it's always hard to understand when young people pass because we think their
Right.
life has been cut short. But he said, I lived the life I was meant to live, and I accomplished what I
Right.
wanted to accomplish. And if you can help our mother understand that so she can let go of her grief and her guilt, especially, that would be great.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, wow. And I didn't even understand that my mother felt guilty about it, because that was the one part of
Right.
the message I didn't understand. But when I
Right.
went to call her that afternoon and told her, all of the evidence and then that one piece, she started crying and said, oh gosh, I fought your brother and your dad about getting that motorcycle for him. I didn't feel good about it. I didn't want him to have it, but he got it. And then 2 weeks later, he was dead. And she just was,
That's
she
what
carried.
my mom is going through that same kind of guilt. He died in a
Yes.
car accident, and he had bought the car accident, or excuse me, he bought the car a month prior, and he got a small vehicle, and she keeps beating herself up over it. And she says almost every day that she feels guilty that she didn't get him into a truck.
Yes.
But he chose the small car and he
She
wanted it, but he's
chose.
carrying that guilt as well.
Yeah, so tell her, that it wouldn't have mattered whether it was a truck
Right.
or a small car or what. It was his time, and he was going to pass either, if not in that
Right.
accident, some time right around that
Yeah,
same period.
exit
Yeah.
point, we told
It's
the
kind
same
of
thing.
interesting. My mom and I have had these interesting conversations because he almost had this intuitive knowing for like almost like half of his life. He always like feared kind of like he's going to die prematurely. Like he had this knowing. It was really interesting. And my mom and I keep saying it's kind of obviously bizarre, but it makes more sense now that if it's like planned and that his soul kind of already knew that possibly
That
that was
happens a
going to
lot.
happen.
As a matter of fact, Bob Ginsburg got into it because his daughter passed away. Bob and Frank Ginsburg, their daughter Bailey, got into a car accident, and she wrote poetry about her passing, like days before she passed. Like she knew it was coming, crazy.
And the other thing too is, like, again with my brother, and you can share this with your mom, there was, the in that same message, the Nancy said that there was something mysterious about my brother's accident. So he was on a motorcycle crossing a highway and went right in front of a car. I mean, you can see a quarter mile in either direction. He rode right in front of it, and he was not suicidal. But the weird, the mystery part of it is just the week before, he had been out riding. It was a little 50c motorbike or 70cc motorbike, right? And he was out riding along these river bluffs, and something literally tried to pull him over the bluff onto the rocks below. And it was a pretty steep fall, a fairly steep fall. And but he was strong enough to keep the bike, back on the path, and he came home. But he was, I mean, Merle was kind of a daredevil sort of personality. So when he came in, and he was shaking, he was scared. And he told us that this had happened, and we're like, wow, that's wild. And so, a week later, it's more understandable that, this same force, because it was his time, pulled him right in front of that car. So, and he'd had just 6 months. See, that was September. The December prior, he'd had a bad accident on a snowmobile racing along these fields with drifts right next to a barbed wire fence. He hit a drift, flew into the fence, sliced his neck, but he survived that. So I think that he was due, like he was overdue for his time, if you understand. And so it was, and so that makes sense that your brother had that intuitive knowing that this was coming, right?
No, my
So
mom and
that,
I talked about it, and there were certain things that kind of like led into the months preceding his passing that were just kind of strange. And then once, he passed, it was like, okay, wait a minute. Like, was this all happening to kind of set us up for the accident?
Or that. Okay, yeah. Can you
Like there
share
was,
that at all?
he was 20. So he was 22, and so during that time he started making his own friends and connections and started pulling away. And my mom, him and I are were extremely close. We like talked all the time, saw each other all the time. And for probably like the 3 to 4 months prior to the accident, he wasn't really responding to my text messages very often. And so there was like this separation, like this pulling away that made me already feel his absence in a sense. And so then it made when he passed, I don't want to say easier, but I had already had that separation a little bit from him. And at the time,
Insane.
I just told myself he's 22, he'll come out of it. But in retrospect, I'm like, was this all happening for a reason?
Interesting. So
Well,
that can.
I can't recommend this guy enough. Get if you haven't signed up for it, sign up for Victor and Wendy Zammit's Friday Afterlife Reports. They come from
I
Australia,
will.
and it's ZAMMIT. Just Google that, and the rest will be easy. And sign up for his afterlife reports. You'll get a plethora of information emailed to you with videos and all kinds of stuff. Like it's
You repeat
mind-boggling.
that last name again?
Zammit, Zammit. So it's Victor Zammit.
Okay,
Zammit.
perfect.
He's a retired lawyer from Australia who's dedicated the last 20 to 25 years just on the afterlife and looking at resources, finding videos, finding seminars, and all kinds of stuff. It's gonna
Amazing.
look him up. You're gonna
Well,
love
thank
it.
you so much.
You're
Yeah,
very
that sounds
welcome.
really interesting.
And
Yeah,
all
well,
our
thank you both so much for your time. I really appreciate you taking my call.
You are
Yeah,
so welcome.
absolutely, Stephanie.
Heal well, my friend.
Thank you for sharing your story.
Take
Of course,
care.
thank you. Bye.
Bye-bye. Okay, well that was very interesting.
Yes, it was. Yeah.
Because
And it's a good question. Yeah.
it's a good question because a lot of people and a lot of our listeners are listening because they've lost somebody. They're grieving and they want to find out more and they want to learn more about it. So this is great. I mean, this is why we do it, to help people.
Yeah, absolutely.
Do you do a lot of private readings or do you do group readings? Or do you prefer one type of reading over another?
I do 4 to 5 private readings a week.
Okay. That's
So
not a lot, actually. It must take a lot of energy out of you.
it's as much as I can do. Yeah,
Yeah, that's what I figured. Yeah.
otherwise I'm kind of like, yeah, brain dead over the rest of the weekend. Because a lot of the readings are longer, they go for an hour and a half or so. So
Right.
maintaining that level of focus is it does take energy. But
Now,
group reading, I'm sorry, go.
what do you do during a reading like a private reading? Do you prepare yourself by meditating beforehand, or what are your tricks? Do you surround yourself with white light, or go ahead.
So I always will take a few minutes just to sit quietly myself, but I'm always in that 30 minutes prior. I'm inviting in the loved ones of my client. So I make sure I have their name and I'm talking to their loved ones. I'm talking to my loved ones. I'm like, guides. I'm like, come on in, you're invited. And anybody else, clear out. And then as soon as I get, and I invite my client to do the same. So I advise them in my email to them to quiet their mind for a few minutes prior to. But then once we get on the phone, I will do a guided meditation of a white light sort of cleansing and chakra clearing, just to do a couple things. First of all, just to raise our vibration, like we talked about earlier. We're tuning in, so we're enhancing our spiritual tuner, our antenna. But also it starts the meditation starts the energetic connection with loved ones and guides. So we're starting to, build that loving energy and sharing that and building those connections. And so that by the time the meditation is done, which is about a 10-minute meditation, we're feeling relaxed and open, filled with love, feeling light. And then I turn on my timer and away we go.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
So yeah, it's when I first started offering services as a medium, I didn't do that with everyone. I only did that if people were really distraught, because I knew I needed to calm their energy. But then I
Right.
realized that something special was happening when I would do that. Everything kind of sped up and was more clear. So then I just decided, you know what? I'm doing this with everybody. And over time, the meditation has kind of refined itself, like spirit has sort of helped me refine. They added, the chakra cleansing that was not part of the earlier one. And so, yeah, it's, it works for me. It works for my clients, especially those with really active minds. It helps them to just sort of quiet their minds, slow things down a bit. And yeah,
Absolutely.
it's
No,
good.
that's good to know. Now, while you're giving the readings, do you ever receive like messages that you choose not to pass on for whatever reason because they're messages of doom or danger or something not positive, like negative, maybe from a negative entity or anything like that. Do you ever get
I don't think
situations
I've
like
ever
that?
connected in with a negative entity,
Okay.
but I think the way in which we deliver certain kinds of information that might be considered negative energy or negative information is it's still incumbent upon us to deliver it. And for example, if it's if I'm seeing like health issues or something, generally spirit will start that by bringing forward certain foods, or they'll show me a part of the body that that should be. In fact, just this week, yesterday. Wait, what day is today? I think yesterday.
Today's Thursday. It's my daughter's birthday today.
Oh, happy
December
birthday to your
11th.
daughter. Oh, wonderful. It's my older brother's birthday today too.
Oh, cool.
But anyway, yeah, so there was something in the message yesterday about my client's brother's mouth, and that if he hadn't just been to the dentist, like he needed to get to the dentist, or something about I saw him in the dentist chair, and so yeah, and I kind of feel like it had something to do with aligning the teeth that they needed to be aligned so that they would be the mouth would be healthier. It was too crowded or something like that. I mean, that's not such a terrible thing, but
No.
there are some things where it's maybe going to be a difficult thing to
To convey,
hear.
yeah.
But you find a way to deliver that information with love and compassion,
Right.
and people appreciate that, I
Now,
think.
does your brother, because he's obviously related to you, does he have any of these mediumistic tendencies or anything or gifts?
Well, both of my brothers are in spirit.
Oh, both of your brothers are in spirit. Okay.
Yes, they're both in spirit.
Wow. Okay.
And my younger brother, we were too young to know. And my older brother was very interested in it, and but never tried. My sisters, however, all rather psychic. And never studied mediumship because they didn't have access to a mediumship teacher. I wasn't here in Minnesota for most of my life. My older sister Connie, she should have been a detective because she picks up stuff so quickly about people or situations
Now,
that
is she
goes,
alive, your older sister?
yes, she is,
Okay, all right.
goes beyond what a normal person might know.
Well, because when you talk about them, you don't like you talk about them like they're all alive, which is they really are,
Just different form in different form. Yeah, I have two sisters and two brothers in spirit. Yeah, with my parents. Yeah, I know. Well, you know what? This path of mine is about the journey through grief and beyond, right? And
Absolutely.
so it is what it is. This is what I chose, apparently.
No, that's great. It's great, and you're wickedly good at it. So God bless you. So you know what? We're almost out of time.
Oh, wow.
So just tell us a bit about your I mean this hour flew, didn't it?
Yeah, really
Sure
flew.
did. So let's plug your business and your practice. Let's get some information out there, because I
Okay.
briefly said at the very beginning that you have a website, which is whispersfromthelight.com, right?
Mm-hmm.
The same website. So I guess people can book readings with you from the website.
Yep, absolutely. They can go to services and see the different types of readings I do besides mediumship. I also offer Akashic Records readings and hybrid readings where it's half Akashic Records and half mediumship, which is also always an interesting sort of a combination. I'm also a hypnotherapist, so guiding people, of course, that's only in person for past life regression or life between life regression. All things spirit and life journey related are things that fascinate me. But I'm also, for those people who are interested in or feel like they have an aptitude for mediumship, I've got another retreat coming up in May, the end of May. And if there's enough interest, I could also do in the end of June here in Minnesota. So only 12 students at a time. So we have, four, we start on a Wednesday afternoon and end on a Sunday early afternoon. And we do a lot of different things. It starts out sort of intellectually talking about the big ideas of, what is the spirit world? What is this energy that we're working in? What is, what is God? What, what's really happening? And I'm sure this next year the telepathy tapes are definitely going to be on the docket for things to talk about. But then there's a whole day of psychic exercises, because I think learning how you work psychically versus mediumistically is an important thing to understand right up front. And some people are really good psychically, not so great mediumistically, or vice versa. And so it's like an assessment. You understand sort of where you're at. And then we gradually start moving into mediumship with objects or photos. So just sort of gradually using cues or clues to get the process going, kind of fire up the engines. And then by the end of that time, we're not using anything, no tools, straight mediumship, working in pairs and in groups. And it's amazing. I mean,
It is. I'm
people
sure it is.
after those 5 days, they're exhausted, but they're like, their eyes are open to the possibilities.
Great.
And many of them continue evening classes with me. I only offer Zoom classes to those who've been, on a retreat with me, because I don't know, I'm kind of old school. I feel like
Nothing wrong with that.
I need to understand the energy of the student and their abilities to know how to best guide them. So, and we set, all the safety protocols in place as well. So, So I would say if people are interested in that, I do have, I'm just about to actually put up the new pages for the May retreat, and I've got 10 people, I think, on a waiting list. So whether they will all be wanting to sign up or not, that I don't know, but I think that retreat might go quickly. But if it does, I'll offer out a June one. Yeah.
So, Renee, thank you so much. Our time is up. It's time to move on for this radio show to go to another thing. But it was so nice having you on. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
And it
Thank
was
you. I
very,
really
very
enjoyed it.
informative. So did I. And it was so fast. So, as Bob and Fran used to always love to remind us on the old podcast that our loved ones are a heartbeat away. I definitely
That's
think that's
right.
true.
That's
And
right.
one day science is going to prove it. So,
Yep.
thank you, everybody. Renee,
Good
thank you very much. And good night, everybody.
night.